Hello and welcome everyone to Conspiracy 101, where we ask the hard questions and hopefully get the right answers. I'm here with Daniel. How are you doing, Daniel?
Well, excellent and fabulous, Mr. Bob.
And
thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for having me. Oh my goodness. And we've had some really weird conversations over the last few weeks about this.
Yes.
And today is not that much different. It'll be very
not much different.
It'll be very good conversation about facial recognition. Its use and future. Are you interested in that, Daniel?
Yes, I am.
Interesting. Because that's what we're going to talk about. what is facial recognition? That's our first question here. The science of turning a face into data.
Okay. So,
all right. So today we begin in one of the most powerful and most controversial technologies of our era, facial recognition. You probably use it on your phone, right? You have your cell phone, you hold it up to your face. It unlocks because it knows it's you, right?
Yes, true. I love the technology.
Yeah, it makes it convenient, right? So at its core, the system does something remarkably simple. It turns your face into a number. Did you know that?
Oh.
Specifically, it measures key distances and contours of your face, the gap between your eyes, the curve of your jaw, the depth of your eye socket, and converts those into a mathematical signature called a face print. That face print is then compared against a database. If it matches, you're identified. That's you. If it doesn't, then you're unknown. It's a simple concept, but extraordinarily powerful in practice. So facial recognition is a biometric AI technology that identifies and verifies a person by analyzing their facial geometry. It detects unique facial landmarks, such as I mentioned, the distance of your eyes and so forth, and it converts it into a face print. So modern systems use deep learning neural networks trained on millions of labeled faces. So it detects, aligns, feature extraction, matching, and then identifies and verifies. So let's go into the history of this, shall we?
Yes, go ahead.
So in 1964, Woodrow Bledsoe, pioneering work on the using computers to classify photos of faces, was the first documented attempt at facial recognition. Then in 1991, MIT researchers Turk and Pentland developed the IconFaces, the first practical algorithm enabling real-time facial recognition. 1991, did you have any clue? In 2001, at the Super Bowl in Tampa, Florida, was the first mass public deployment scanning 100,000 faces against a criminal database. They were looking for people at the Super Bowl who are going to be up to no good. In 2010, deep learning revolution started taking place, and systems like DeepFace achieved near human accuracy of 97.35%. That was over 15 years ago. So in 2021, deployed in airports, police stations, smartphones, retail, healthcare, touching billions of lives every day. So here we go. Let's look at the stages of detection. So stage one, they detect. Stage two, they align. Stage three, feature extraction. Stage four, matching. So modern convolutional neural networks can process this pipeline in under 100 milliseconds. Training requires millions of labeled faces, images across a diverse demographic. The actual recognition pipeline has four key stages, like we mentioned: detection, alignment, extraction, and matching. So the neural network converts the aligned face into the mathematical face print, a vector of 128 by 512 floating point numbers. The matching, the face print, is compared against the database using distance calculations. If the distance is below a threshold, it's a match. The genius is in that threshold. Set it too high and you get false positives. Innocent people get flagged. Set it too low and you miss real matches. Getting the balance right is what we still have to do, and it's also one of the hardest processes to get down. So let's look at some statistics here. A global market for facial technology is $13.4 billion. And that is, think about that number, Daniel, right?
Oh, my gosh.
That's a good target.
Money, come to us.
Oh, yeah. So 1 in 2 Americans have their face in a law enforcement database. That's over 100% of the people. 97.5% accuracy on top systems for standard benchmarks. And 800 million plus surveillance cameras globally, and the majority of those now are AI enabled. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Oh my goodness.
Scary.
Face is the index of the mind. Artificial intelligence is now learning how to read it. Scary, scary stuff.
That'd be awesome. For me.
So this is a thought by Cicero, who wrote that the face is the index of the mind. He meant it philosophically, that our expressions reveal our inner state. 2,000 years later, artificial intelligence is literally learning to read the index. And unlike Cicero's philosophical musings, AI's reading has real-world consequences. Who gets through a border? Who gets flagged by the police? Who gets tracked in a crowd? As we move through this presentation, I want you to hold two things simultaneously. The extraordinary power that this technology has to do good, and the extraordinary risk it poses if it's misused. Both are real, both demand our attention. The good, security and law enforcement, right? So this is the good stuff, right? So this is what we want to happen. So for example, in 2018, Indian police used facial recognition to identify 3,000 missing children in just 4 days across Delhi, a task that previously would have taken years. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children uses facial recognitions to match current photos of potential victims against historical missing person databases so they can find them. Operation Cross Country, the FBI, facial recognition has accelerated victim identification and sex trafficking investigations from months to hours. So they've cut down finding people months to hours. Thorne's Spotlight tool uses facial recognition to analyze escort websites, identifying trafficked individuals at scale impossible for human investigators. New York's Project VIC uses facial recognition to process millions of images from seized devices, protecting victims while prosecuting the abusers. I mean, it's good stuff there, Daniel.
Yes.
For example, the Golden State Killer case, while solved via DNA, facial recognition is now routinely used in similar investigations to match suspect sketches to mugshots. So they can take that sketch and apply it to that mugshot database and maybe find a person that matches that. In New Orleans, police used facial recognition to identify a suspect in a mass shooting within 48 hours from grainy surveillance footage. So the footage doesn't even have to be that good. It doesn't have to be a really good picture in order to make a match, because they're not matching based on the clarity of the picture. They're matching based on the distances of parts of your face, which you don't have to have a great picture in order to measure those. UK Met Police, over 9,000 individuals identified from protest riot footage between 2020 and 2023, including far-right extremists. Interpol's face database contains 330,000 plus records used across 996 member countries for terrorist and fugitive identification. A good example, the Boston Marathon bombers were eventually identified partly through facial recognition of the surveillance footage. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, certainly.
One of the largest deployments of facial recognition in the world happens at airports. U.S. Customs and Border Protection have rolled biometric facial recognition out over 200 U.S. airports, processing over 100 million travelers since 2017. In 2023, CBP reported catching over 2,400 imposters, people attempting to use someone else's passport that would almost certainly have been missed by traditional document checks. But they got good passports, right? The European Union's Smart Borders Initiative uses automated e-gate systems that process a passenger in under 15 seconds, compared to 45 seconds for a human officer. For high-volume airports handling 50 million passengers a year, that efficiency matters enormously. Dubai Airport uses facial recognition across its entire terminal complex, allowing UAE residents to pass through immigration without stopping, just walking through a virtual aquarium of cameras. The future of air travel is facially recognized. You probably have to do that whenever you travel. I know you travel every once in a while, right? So, the counterterrorism represents one of the most sensitive and consequential applications. The scenario is straightforward. If a known terrorist appears in a crowd, facial recognition can flag that person before they act. In practice, this has happened. UK law enforcement has publicly documented cases where real-time facial recognition at events prevented individuals on watch lists from gaining entry. Qatar's 2022 World Cup deployed facial recognition across all 8 stadiums, identifying not just security threats, but also individuals banned by Football Association for hooliganism. You can't be a hooligan in here, son. We caught you with the facial recognition. The NYPD's domain awareness system covering Manhattan with 9,000 cameras can flag known suspects within seconds of them entering camera range. The question we have to ask, and we will ask, is what's happening when the database is wrong? Any ideas? You're muted, Dan. You don't want to talk about it because you're muted there.
Thank you for that reminding, Mr. Bob, because I heard the siren. Oh, my goodness, again. Again, disturbing. So you're asking me what is my opinion regarding this?
Yeah, what happens whenever they are wrong? What do you think?
Well, if they are wrong with the algorithm, there's something with the data that they inputted, I think.
Maybe.
Do you think?
One of the most fascinating and underreported applications of facial recognition is in healthcare. Face2Gene is an app used by geneticists worldwide that can identify over 2,700 rare genetic disorders from a patient's photograph.
Hmm.
A condition like Noonan syndrome, which affects 1 in 2,500 people and often takes years to diagnose, can be flagged by Face2Gene in seconds. For families who have spent years in diagnostic limbo, that transformation in the hospitals, facial recognition is being piloted to prevent wrong patient errors, administering medicine to the wrong person, performing the wrong procedure. Those errors affect 1 in 10 hospital patients and cause roughly $100,000 or 100,000 preventable deaths in the U.S. alone. Facial recognition could be the safety net that saves those lives.
No.
All right, the good, right? Consumer and commercial uses. Let's think about that. Like our phone, right? So let's pivot the experience to what most of us have used personally. Apple's Face ID for iPhone. Launched with the iPhone X in 2017, fundamentally changed how we think about device security. Instead of a 4-digit PIN, or even a fingerprint, you just look at your phone, opens up. The system projects 30,000 invisible infrared dots onto your face, reading the results, resulting pattern with an infrared camera, and creates a 3D depth map. The probability of a random stranger unlocking your phone is 1 in 1,000,000, 10 times more secure than Touch ID. But here's what's crucial. All of that processing happens on the device in a dedicated chip called the Secure Enclave. Apple never sees your face. Your face print never leaves your phone. This is an example of facial recognition done responsibly, powerful, private, and user-controlled. That's great to know, isn't it? You don't have to worry about them getting a hold of it. All right, payments are one of the hottest ones. Yeah, we've already moved from cash to cards to phones. The next step is your face. Alibaba's Smile to Pay has been running at scale in China for years, processing millions of transactions daily at supermarkets, restaurants, in transit stations in the U.S. Amazon, one lets you pay at Whole Foods by hovering your palm over a reader. And MasterCard has piloted smile-to-pay technology in Brazil and Poland. KFC China's FacePay kiosks don't just take your payment. They suggest food based on your estimated age and gender. That's either delightfully convenient or deeply uncomfortable. Depending on your perspective, the question of whether you're a customer being served or a data point being harvested is up to you. What do you think about that? KFC, do they look at you, they're like, ah, Daniel, you don't need chicken, you need a salad.
Wow, I like that. Automatic, make it fast. Finger licking good.
Finger licking fast. So a few applications have touched more lives than social media's use of facial recognition. Facebook's Deep Face system, developed in 2014, achieved 97.35% accuracy in identifying people in photos, essentially matching human performance. It powered automatic photo tagging across billions of Facebook photos until the company shut it down in 2021 following regulatory pressure and a $650 million class action lawsuit in Illinois. Mm-hmm. Google Photos face grouping is used by hundreds of millions of people to organize personal photo libraries. It clusters photos by person without naming anyone unless you tell it to, an important privacy distinction. Apple Photos does the same, but entirely on the device. These tools have genuine utility. Finding every photo of your grandmother, organizing family albums across decades, but the same technology Facebook used to tag your vacation photos was also, as we'll see, the same technology that enabled mass surveillance. These are all the good things, Daniel. We haven't even got out of the good things.
Yeah.
To get to the bad things, but soon enough we will. One of the most profound positive applications is in accessibility. Microsoft's Scene AI app is free and designed specifically for people who are blind or have low vision. You point your phone's camera at someone and the app speaks out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Lucas.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't say that. It's a Hispanic woman, approximately 30 years old, appears to be Sarah. It reads emotions, estimates age, and if it recognizes the face from your contacts, it says the name. So it could say Daniel Lucas, I suppose. For someone who has never been able to read facial expressions, this is genuinely life-changing. For children with autism who struggle to interpret social cues, robots like Casper, which uses facial recognition to track emotional responses, provide a safe patient practice partner. And for patients with ALS or locked-in syndrome, eye-tracking systems anchored by facial recognition allow people who cannot move or speak to communicate. This is technology that helps serve human dignity. That's fantastic, Daniel.
Fantastic.
There's more stats. 1.5 billion iPhone users with Face ID every day.
Yes.
Over
Every single day.
4 million Amazon One Palm enrollments at the U.S. retail locations. $650 million settlement for Facebook using unauthorized facial data. Facebook, they can never get it right, can they?
Yes.
3 million Google Photos users benefiting from facial AI grouping. All right. Let's go to the good in government, and then we're going to get to the bad. We'll just go through this really quickly.
Yes.
Disaster response. After the 2015 Nepal earthquake, facial recognition was used to identify bodies and match unidentified survivors with missing family members. That's great.
Mm.
Syrian refugees crisis in 2015. The UNHCR uses iris and facial biometrics to register and authenticate 5 million plus refugees for aid distribution. The Haiti earthquake in 2010. Post-disaster identification systems using FR to help reunite displaced families across language barriers. COVID-19. Mm-hmm. FR systems track vaccinated individuals in low connectivity regions where paper records are unreliable. And then 2018, the Indonesian tsunami. Palantir and facial recognition technology helped identify victims and coordinate international aid distribution. That's great.
Awesome.
Also, the banking system We had the India's Aadhaar system, biometric ID, including FR with for 1.38 billion citizens, enabling bank account access, welfare payments, and SIM registration. Rural farmers in Bihar received crop insurance payouts via facial recognition. Kenya's M-Pesa and FR, mobile banking for 30 million users, many without traditional ID documents, verified via facial biometrics. Brazil's Castro de Pesos Fiascas, FR integrated into national ID, enabled 50 million previously unbanked citizens to access their financial services. And the World Bank ID4D initiative, supporting facial recognition-based digital ID rollout in 47 countries, targeting 1 billion people lacking formal identification. So that's great, right?
Yes.
Not only
that'd
that,
but awesome.
Cities. Facial recognition into public transit, government services, public safety. The 2021 Olympics in Tokyo, facial recognition is accreditation for 300,000 athletes, officials, and media, eliminated all physical badge fraud. Dubai Smart City, FR at metro stations, government offices, public spaces, reducing crime by 27%. Barcelona, traffic management systems reduce emergency response times by 20% by recognizing incident patterns. And in Seoul, South Korea, FR monitors COVID quarantine compliance, generating automatic alerts if individuals leave their designated area. Can you believe it?
I think so. I will believe that, Mr. Bob, because this is our future generation.
All right. Now let's get into the bad stuff.
Okay.
Mass surveillance and authoritarianism.
Uh-huh.
All right. China operates an estimated 700 million surveillance cameras, one camera for every two citizens.
Two citizens.
Yeah. I can't say it. Xinjiang, one in five of the world's most surveillance cameras are in this region of 25 million people, one of the world's most watched populations. The social credit system links FR surveillance to behavior scoring. Bad scores restrict travel, banking, education, and social mobility. They're watching you, Daniel.
Oh, my God.
You don't behave, guess what? None of this.
None of those. None of those.
6.15 million people were banned from buying plane tickets in 2018 alone due to social credit violations. You don't get to go anywhere. Deadbeat maps. Apps in some Chinese cities display the real-time location of loan defaulters on public screens near their homes. Ooh. They're like public shaming.
Yeah.
All right, leaked police files in Xinjiang. In 2022, internal documents and images showing mass, intermittent, justified, and enabled internment enabled by facial recognition tech surveillance. Hikvision and Tahu, two Chinese camera companies, both U.S. blacklisted, supplied mosque cameras explicitly marketed for Uyghur tracking. So they were targeting. Emotion AI, Chinese companies developed systems claiming to detect suspicious emotional states, anxiety, anger, the face scans. I wonder what they would think I was doing right now. Am I angry or confused?
You're in surveillance.
Yeah. Export concern. These technologies and the governance models are being exported to 63 plus countries via China's Digital Silk Road.
Oh, wow. So
Hong Kong, emergency anti-mask law 2019 struck down partly on civil liberties grounds. These are the protests, right? In Detroit, Robert Williams arrested due to facial recognition false match, spent 30 hours in jail before release because they thought he was somebody else.
Oh,
2020 BLM protests, that's Black Lives Matter. Multiple cities used undisclosed facial recognition surveillance on their demonstrators. They're watching everybody.
Everyone.
So traditional expectation, being in public means being anonymous in a crowd. a foundational freedom of democratic societies, not with facial recognition. With ubiquitous FR cameras, every walk, every store visit, every protest, every meeting can be logged, analyzed retroactively, and at high speed with AI. ICE, the U.S. Immigration, used facial recognition on state DMV databases to scan faces of millions of residents without their knowledge or consent.
Without consent.
Met Police retrospective FR analysis of 3 million hours of CCTV footage from Notting Hill Carnival identified 35 suspects. Russia's Find Face, a 2016 app allowing anyone to photograph a stranger and identify them for Vakant, was 70% accurate. Terrible, Daniel. They're targeting people.
Privacy, indeed.
But you know, it happens in Canada and the United States as well, right?
Okay.
Yeah. China has exported surveillance technology to 63 countries, as we mentioned. Ecuador's ECU 911 is a Chinese facial recognition surveillance system that covers the entire country, originally managed by Chinese technicians. Data access concerns remain, so they're just getting everybody's data. Zimbabwe. Huawei built a national facial recognition system in exchange for biometric data to improve their models on African faces. So Zimbabwe sold out their people to this company so they can improve their facial recognition.
Oh, my.
The UAE acquired Chinese and Western facial recognition technology used to track and prosecute dissidents and journalists.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good, Daniel.
My goodness.
You're worried about this, aren't you? You're worried about me talking about this.
Yes. Privacy. Pakistan, they can access anytime, anywhere.
Anytime. Pakistan's Safe Cities is a Chinese-built surveillance network in Islamabad. Over 1,800 FR-equipped cameras with direct PLA data links alleged. All right. Some more nefarious stuff. The MIT lab study from Joy Buluwini, 2018, error rates by demographic. White men is only 0.8%. Darker skinned women, 34.7% error rate, which means a third of the time they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The NISP study in 2019, top FR algorithms were 10 to 100 times more likely to false match black and Asian faces than white faces. It's biased.
Mm-hmm.
The root cause, training data sets have historically overrepresented lighter skinned faces from Western contexts, celebrities, and so forth. Like myself. Thank you, David. Mm-hmm. The feedback loop, systems trained on biased data deploy with biased errors, generating biased outcomes, reinforcing biased assumptions, right? So not a good way to go. Regulatory response, this now requires demographic breakdown in all FR algorithm evaluations for federal deployment. I don't think it's going to stop anything, though, to be honest with you, Dean. All right, case study, Robert Williams, the face of a false arrest. Let's end on this one because we're almost out of time. In 2020, Robert Williams, a black man in Detroit, was arrested in front of his house, in front of his wife and young daughters at his home. The charge was shoplifting from Shinola store in 2018 based on a facial recognition match from the store surveillance footage. The problem, the FR system matched Williams to a photo from a database, a match investigators did not independently verify. Williams was held in jail for 30 hours. When detectives showed him the photo, he said, "That's not me. I hope you don't think all black men look alike," which is, that's a bad thing there. Mm-hmm. Charged with dropping, the ACLU filed suit. Detroit police suspended standalone FR arrest. The harm to Williams and his family was already done. So let's do the last statistics here, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
4.7% of error rate for people with dark skin, a 0.8 for people with light skin. 3+ documented wrongful arrest of innocent black men in the U.S. due to FR false matches. 180 FR systems tested by NIST, majority showed significant demographic gaps. Bad news. So you're like, what's the conspiracy, Bob?
Our privacy.
Our privacy. Exactly. Exactly. And to think, I don't know if you knew, I mean, this is not something I thought about every day, but this has been going on commercially and widespread for well over 15 years, which tells you that it's been going on longer than that. It's probably been going on for more than 30 years, and we didn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the conspiracy. We've been left in the dark in terms of facial recognition until now, and at this point, we can't stop it.
Yes.
So next time you go to the airport, or you go to the DMV, or you go to the, you know, government offices, you're being captured and cataloged based on your facial recognition face print and put in the database so that later, if you're drunk on a Saturday night and smash a window, they'll come get you.
It's easy for them to ever catch you.
It's right. It's easier for them to catch you. But if you are a person of Asian or darker skin, they don't have a system that's really good yet. They haven't tested it. So false arrests could happen.
Yes. False alerts. Well, that will be more, let's say, complicated for us.
Yes. Well, you don't want to be hassled. Nobody does. Come on.
Yes.
You don't want to get thrown in jail for the night just because you went down to the bodega to get some candy. Yeah.
How? The problem is, Mr. Bob, how we secure our privacy? It's easy for them, for the government.
Cat's out of the bag. It's done. We can't. There's no privacy anymore. Forget about it. That's the conspiracy. That's the big reason to talk about this, is the fact that there's no going back.
It's already done.
We're cooked. It's over. We're caught. We can't do anything about it. It snuck up on us for the last 15 years, and now we can't opt out of it. So the only thing we can possibly do would be to make sure that everybody knows that this is happening, so that if they ever do get in a position of power within the government, they can make rules that try to help prevent these companies from utilizing this against you. But it's so far down the road right now, I don't know if it'll ever turn back.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just cut your face, I guess, real bad.
Change your face, just like the Tom Cruise movies.
You can face off, right? You can do face off.
Why
Daniel,
not?
Daniel, you have anything to plug?
Yes, please do visit our official website, universalpodcast.com. And please do listen to our four podcasts with Mr. Bob. We do have Movie 101 Review, Comedy 101, and of course, Trivia 101 and Conspiracy Theory 101. Wherever you listen, your podcasts.
Stay tuned. We'll have more stuff. You'll learn more things, much like the fact that facial recognition is well on its way to being everywhere, and you can't stop it. I mean, you're going to have to go live in the swamp like me if you want to avoid all the cameras.
Mm-hmm. You don't need your facial. Yes. You don't need your facial recognition to listen to our four podcasts.
No, you don't. No. Well, you might have to open your phone, maybe. I don't know.
It's not required.
All right, everybody. We will catch you next time for another interesting conspiracy.
Yes.
Maybe 101 of them. I'm not sure.
Yes. Okay, Mr. Bob. More to come, people.